four questions.
Here's the deal. Okay, I need my phone to do it today, as the sun is setting on this day, 16th Yom Tov. So it was Shir Uli Nishmas Reb Shmuel Abba Reb Meir, Zichron Levracha. Title of the Shir is a quote from Reb Pinchas of Koretz. Talk more about him. And the title is, "The Divine is Most Present When I Am Most Absent." Nothing else that quote in Lod is worth coming to hear. If you get nothing else out of this year. So, I'd like to begin with four questions. You have here in front of you, from this week's Parsha of introducing the Parsha of the Parsha Haman. Okay, I hope you all said it on Tuesday. Right, there was a school at the city Parshas Haman on Tuesday.
For Parnassa.
Familiar with this?
For Parnassa.
For Parnassa, yeah. You took care of it?
Day.
No?
Did you?
I did not. I'm going to say it. Because we're in the same boat. Okay, we're going to have to go to work probably then. Okay, every Tuesday, apparently it's from the Reb Mendel Rimanov. That's where it comes to the sources. There's a lot of hype on the social media about this school.
What's so special about Tuesday?
Tuesday of Parshas B'Shalach.
What's so special about like Tuesday?
Because it comes out, what? Tuesday is Pan Yom Kippur. I don't know. Anyways, we'll say part of it now. Hopefully it'll be, again, for the Parnas of all of us. But I want to focus on, B'nai Yisrael starts to complain. Vayalinu vayalonu, you might see it in the second pasuk there. It's actually a Kriya Niksiv. Okay, Kriya Niksiv, it's written in the Torah one way, we read it the other way. It's written in the Torah vayalinu, and it's pronounced vayalonu. Interesting. It sounds like they write vayalinu. What's the difference vayalinu vayalonu? Vayalonu, anyone know what that means?
Vayalinu?
Complain.
Okay, vayalonu is complain. Vayalinu. Like they were told that. They were like they hung it on, like blamed or ascribed it to Moshe and Aaron. By Elihu called us when he saw Moshe al Aaron Bamidbar. That's the Kri. Okay, that they ascribed it to them. By Elon means that they complained to them. That's how we understand it. That's the Kri. Ksiv is by Elihu. Vayamru alehem in Yisrael. Mi teimu seinu biyad Hashem beretz Mitzrayim b'shav seinu al siram is basar v'achal teinu lechem l'soba ki yotzeitem otanu al midbar zeh alamit et cholak al hazeh v'rad. We could have stayed in Mitzrayim. I'm going to die there with our pots filled with meat, right? Eating as much as we wanted. And rather you took us out to the midbar to die here out of hunger. We have nothing to eat. So Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to send them bread from the heavens. They're going to be able to collect it every day, and it'll be a test whether they are following my Torah or not. On the sixth day, on Friday, it's going to be a lecha mishnah. They're going to get double portions. More than they, right, double what they gather every day. They're not going to have to gather on Shabbat. But here Moshe Aaron al Kol B'nei Yisrael. Okay, here's where we want to focus. Moshe and Aaron together tell B'nei Yisrael, Erev yidatem ki Hashem hotzi etchem eretz Mitzrayim. Tonight, you will know that Hashem took you out of eretz Mitzrayim. Uboker re'isem, and in the morning, you will see, as kvod Hashem, b'sham oet tlun oseichem, Al Hashem, v'nachnu ma ki talonu talinu aleinu. And in the morning you will see the honor of God, the glory of God, that has listened to your complaints on Him, on Hashem. V'nachnu ma, and what are we? Ki talinu aleinu, or ki talonu aleinu, that you complain to us. Who are we that you complain to us? Again, the Kriya Niksiv comes back. Vayomer Moshe, b'teit Hashem lachem be'erev basar le'achol v'lechem baboker l'sova. Says Moshe, and when Hashem gives you at night the basar, the meat, and in the, to eat, and in the morning you're going to get the lechem for your to satiate. B'shamo Hashem esfulun asechem, because Hashem has heard your complaints. Asher atem melinim alav, and you are complaining to Him. V'nachnuma lo aleinu tzmonos lechem ki al Hashem. And who are we? Right? Your complaints are not against us, rather they are our complaints towards Hashem. Okay? Now, on this psukim, okay, the words v'nachnuma, what are we? Or we are what? V'nachnuma. So the Gemara in Chulin, which you have right underneath here, Gemara in Chulin darshins this statement of Moshe Aaron. It says here, Amar Yochanan Mishmar Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. Kol Malkin Shatam Tzeit Rav Shul Rav Elazar Ben Osher Rav Yosef. Lili Ba'agada Aseyad Nachal Ke'afar Keses. So it says, whenever you hear the words, whenever you hear a teaching from Elazar, this the son of Rav Yosef Lili, make your ears like into a funnel, right? Listen carefully. Says the pasuk over Yivchem, Kol Amim Chashek Hashem Bachem Mechule. Not because of your great numbers has God desired you. Amar Lama Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Chushkani Bachem. I desire you. Sheafil b'shah shani mashpil lechem gedola or gedula. Atemi ma'atim atzvechem lefanai. I love you guys. I desire you, the Jewish people. Why? Because even when I shower upon you greatness, you lower yourselves. Nasati gedula Abraham. I gave greatness to Abraham. Amar lefanai va'anochi afar ve'efer. I gave greatness to Abraham, and he said before me that I am just dust and dirt. Dust and ashes. L'Moshe Aaron Amar V'nachnuma. Moshe Aaron said, V'nachnuma, what are we? We're nothing. V'nachnuma. L'David Amar V'anochi Tolad V'loish. He gave greatness to David, and he said, well, I am just a worm, not a man. I will Avdei Chacham Enokei. But the idol worshippers are just the opposite. They I give them greatness, and then they want more, and they deny my existence. Okay, so from here the Gemara learns from this statement of Moshe Aaron v'nachnuma, this great statement of making themselves into nothing, nishtvisendik, as they say in Yiddish, they made themselves into nothing. What are we? Who are we? And the Gemara continues, skipping a couple lines here. Amar Rav Yitain Rav Yochanan. Gadol Shenem Rav Moshe Aaron Yotem Ma Shenem Rav Avram. Greater is what was said by Moshe Aaron than what was said by Avram. In other words, what they said about themselves was even a greater expression of humility than what Avram said. Dilo Ab Avram Ksiv Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. Dilo Moshe Aaron Ksiv Anachnu Ma. They said, we are nothing. We are what? We are what? We are nothing. It's even a greater expression of humility than what Avram said about himself. So here's the question. Here's what's bothering me. Maybe it's bothering you, maybe not. But when you read those psukim, okay, of which the Gemara is darting this out, this great expression of humility, right? And we know that Moshe is Allah, we call Adam, right? Moshe was the greatest, the Torah says. Torah says that Moshe was the greatest anav of all mankind. And this is the greatest expression of humility is being expressed here in this week's parasha, in these psukim. So when I read these psukim and I look at this expression, I find it quite troubling. Because what it seems to me, again, you can argue with me, and that is that, where is this great expression of anav here? B'nai Yisrael is complaining. They're complaining where we don't have any food. You're killing us, bring us out to Midbar to kill us. Why are you taking us out of here? And what's their response? Moshe and Aaron both say, what do you want from us? Why are you complaining to us? Kadosh Baruch Hu took you out of Mitzrayim. He took you out of Egypt. He brought you here, and he's gonna give you food and he's gonna give you lechem and he's gonna give you basar. Your complaints are towards him, not towards us. Who are we? Right? Is this such a great expression of humility? This is what any of us would have said. This, right? We would have said, "What do you want from me? Like, I'm just the messenger here. Don't kill the messenger. Right? What did we do? We have nothing to do with this. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan here. He's running the world. We're just, you know, we're just following orders. Where is this great expression of humility? I'm saying Anochi Ofer Ve'Efer. That sounds like an expression of humility, but the Nachnuma in the context of Bnei Yisrael's complaint to them, Moshe and Aaron, what did you do to us? You took it. What do you want from us? What are you complaining to us for? In other words, instead of what you would have hoped, maybe that again, it would seem that they would maybe take some responsibility, or you know, cover God's back here a second, right? The expression like, "What do you want from us? Why are you complaining to us for?" It should have been, you know, "Don't worry, Kadosh Baruch Hu is gonna is what do you, you know don't take yourself out of the picture at this point when things are getting tough, you know." Hashem appointed you and Aaron to be the leaders, so be the leaders. And now you're saying, you know, like, leave us out of this. You know, we have nothing to do with this. That's what it seems to be what's happening here. Question number one. Question number two is, does anyone understand the reason why Pasuk Chet, does Pasuk Chet add anything that Pasuk Zayin or Vavin Zayin didn't already say? Okay, look at the Pesukim again. Moshe Aaron ben Yisrael, Erev Yadatim Yashem Ol Tiyas Chem Eretz Mitzrayim. Ubelkur Yisem Es Kod Hashem Mishamot Tznur Zechem Ol Hashem Venachnu Ma Ki Talinu Ki Tilonu Aleinu. Right, Hashem is going, took you out of Mitzrayim, He's going to give you, you're going to see in the morning, you're going to see the great honor of Hashem. He heard your arguments. Who are we that you complain to us? Then, Vayomer Moshe, When Hashem gives you the basar at night and the lechem in the morning, right? Hashem who has heard your complaints, who are we that you complain to us? It's really complaints of Hashem. What exactly was added here? The Torah is so concise, so careful with its words. What exactly is being added in the second pasuk that wasn't already understood in the first pasuk? What exactly is this repetition here? Yeah, it makes sense, that question? You buy those questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Question number... The truth is, we should have started with it, just the overall question, and that is the question about the midah anava, the midah of humility. Why do I want to focus on the midah of humility? Why do I want to talk about this? Basically, I've become somewhat of an authority on this issue. So, you know, share that my expertise with you. The question is, what is true humility? Humility is something that's very enigmatic. What is true and what is fake? You know, I'll give an example of fake humility, but we buy it every time almost. But you have you watch a football game. All right, and during the entire football game, you can watch. You only can watch like the mic'd up, like maybe afterwards, but like these guys are mic'd up, right? And you hear them trash talking, right? And then, you know, like a guy lays a great hit another guy, and he's like in his face, and they're trash talking, and they're cursing each other out, and saying you have nothing on me. Usually, it's like cornerbacks and wide receivers going at it, you know, enjoying the whole time. And then whatever, then the end of the game, right? So one of the teams won. Right? And then they interview one of those guys who's been mouthing off the whole time, and then they say, you know, like, wow, you know, it was your performance that won the game. It's like, no, it was a team effort, you know, like, I'm just, you know, like, whatever, I just thank God for, you know, for the abilities that he's given me, and you know, there's nothing, you know, I'm just, whatever, I'm just one of the players on the team, you know, it's like, all of a sudden, he's like, you're this humble guy, right? You know, 10 minutes later, he was saying, like, you have nothing on me, you'll never get, you know, never catch a pass against me, you know, he's like, now he's like, all of a sudden, he's like the humblest guy. So that's fake humility, right? He's been trained to whoever trains these people, right, that when you're interviewed on TV, it's not nice to say, that, you know, you're, you know, don't pull a Richard Sherman, right, from a few years ago, right? No one liked that. It's not like, and the people don't like that, right? People like to hear, like, you know, a sense of humility. It's a team game. You know, your teammates like to hear that. So, that's fake humility. But a lot of us engage in that same kind of thing. Right, we'll say how play ourselves down when really we think, we're something special. So we'll play ourselves down when someone says something, it's amazing we did it, whatever, it's no big deal. Is that fake? Is that fake humility? What should I be saying? You say, you're right, yeah, I'm great, because if that's what I really believe, is that really what I should be saying? Should I not be saying that? When did we have true humility? When is fake humility? So that's just an overall question. What is anava? What are we aspiring to do in trying to reach levels of anava? Okay, then we have these two questions. And then the fourth question is from the Gemara in Sota. Gemara in Sota, this is one of those obvious questions. And okay, this is the last line in Sota. Gemara says, Mishameis Rebbe batla anava v'yiras chait. When Rebbe died, so it was the trait of humility was lost, as was the trait of fear of sin. Rabbi Yosef Latana, Rabbi Yosef said to the Tana, who taught this teaching, he says, Lo tisni anava, don't, you shouldn't be goreis anava. That when Rebbe dies, so anava was lost, and yirashei was lost. Don't say that. Say just yirashei. Why? Deika ana, because I'm still around. Right? Rabbi Nachman Latana, Lo tisni yirashei, deika ana. Rabbi Nachman says, don't say yirashei, because I'm still around. Hagan Allah. So, what do you say? What do you say about this going on? Yeah. He's being honest. He's a humble guy. Being honest. Okay.
That's like the story of the rabbi in London. Yeah,
very good. Yecheskel Abramsky. Excellent. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, a very famous story of Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky. He was asked to testify in court in England on some case that had, they wanted to know what the Jewish opinion was, what Jewish law was. And so that he's sworn into the court. And then the lawyer says to him, by what authority are you coming here to this court today? He says, I'm the greatest expert of Jewish law in all of England. So the judge was like, excuse me, Rabbi, but isn't there an idea of humility in your religion? He says, yes, of course there is, but I'm under oath. Right? So, is humility the absence, of, when we're not supposed to be truthful, is that what humility is? Right? When?
Mitzvah.
Huh?
Mitzvah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So it says that humility is understanding who you truly are.
Das Makompa.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why Moshe was able to be the most humble person, despite being the greatest leader of all time, because you don't normally put the two together. Because Moshe knew what his abilities were and what he was supposed to do.
Okay. So that is an approach. So the statement by Rabbi Yosef of that I'm still around, so you'll say, say this pshat, hey, he's just speaking the truth. Really, so what's that really saying then? That really humility is limited to, let's say when you're not under oath, then you can be humble. Right? That's what Yechazkel Rambam is saying, no? He says, when I'm not under oath, then I could be humble. But now I'm supposed to... What?
Are you allowed to lie to avoid kavanah?
I'm sorry?
Are you allowed to lie to avoid kavanah?
Okay. It's a good question. Good question. You're allowed to avoid kavanah? But the question maybe is even before that. Would you be lying? Would you be lying if Rav Yosef wouldn't have said, what do you mean? I am here. Don't say Misha Butla. Right? If he wouldn't say, what about me? I'm still around. Don't say that Anova has gone from this world because I'm still here. Would he be lying had he not said anything? Would that be beget a lying? In other words, is that statement, does that fly in the face of Anova? Or is it still fall under the category of Anova? That's what we're trying to understand. Okay. So the truth is that this topic of Anava is quite vast. And I've spent the last 6 months doing other things. I only spent like a few hours on this, so everybody, Anava is such a central concept, and for many it is the most important character trait that one should acquire. You don't have to go to, you know, contemporary sources or Hasidic sources. You know, you can go to Shulchan Aruch, you can go before Shulchan Aruch, you can go to the Ramban and his Igeres, which you're familiar with, and you go to the Rambam and Hilchos Deos, and you go to the Gemara and Pirkei Avos. That it may be the most important Midah, of which all other Midos Tovas are dependent on. And so many things are dependent on this. One's Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? If a person is of the opinion that I am nothing, I don't deserve anything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes me nothing, I owe him everything, he owes me nothing, I don't even deserve to be created, which is what we say in davening every morning, then, you know, imagine what that does for your emunah in Hashem. Right? If a person has that attitude, then he could probably be so many things in his life. He can withstand so many difficulties. So many tragedies that happened just recently. Many of you heard about a lot of things. Just my wife just went to a shiva today of a woman in Ramat Beit Shemesh Gimel, a woman who she actually was there. She assisted the birth of this child a year ago, and just the child didn't wake up. 1 year old went to sleep, didn't wake up. So to bury a 1 year old without any. The child wasn't sick, it was just didn't wake up. So how can a parent you know, get over that nisayon? So if a person's attitude in life is that, you know, Shem natan, Hashem lakach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes me nothing, who am I, I'm nothing, it was a gift, that even that 1 year was a gift. So you can maybe withstand and get over that nisayon, but if you have sense of entitlement, so then it's much, much harder. So the Midah Anava is very, very central, and everyone writes about it. I want to focus on one approach, one school of thought, and being that I just went to the Ukraine, so I've been a little inspired to focus on the Hasidic approach. And the truth is, in the first two or three generations of Chassidut, so the focus on Anava was very, very central. From the Baal Shem Tov through the Magna Mesrich, second generation, and the third generation, which the main Talmidim of Magna Mesrich was Reb Zusha and Reb Elimelech Lizhensk and Kedushas Levi and the Baal Tanya. So the Midah of Anava was central to everyone. All of their thinking, all of their thought, whatever we have and brought down from them, you'll see that this Midah of Anava was so central. It's the root of all Midas Tovas, as we said. And the emphasis, I think, in Chassidut, one of the emphasis, just historically, was they were responding to what they saw in the current Torah leadership. Was that what they encountered? Is that in the society, community placed Torah study and those who study and those people learn Torah on a pedestal, which is correct, right? But there was a certain criticism in that those people stood on that pedestal, they looked down on those who weren't, those who studied Torah. And so what happened was that the more you studied Torah, the more you felt entitled. And the less you knew, the more you felt humbled, or were actually humbled. And this is a paradox. Because it should be just the opposite. It should be the greater you become, the more humble you become. And the less knowledgeable you are, the less Torah learned you are, the more amaretz you are, the more you have the mida of gaiva present, and you're further away from humility. But what seemed to be what they were reacting to, again, or they emphasized, I'm sorry, reacted, but there was the emphasis of Anova was that, you know, look at these simple people, they're full of mamish, living in a sense of shiflus, of this lowly state, and feel lowly because they don't know Torah. They're saying that's amazing, that's great. There's a quote, a very very sharp quote from Pinchas of Karatzer, which we'll get to. Pinchas of Karatzer is such a sharp quote, where he says, I didn't bring it with me this one. He says, Yetzirah lets us. He's okay. He lets us learn Torah and daven and do mitzvahs. He lets us do it. As long as we have that feeling that I've done it, then he's done his job. He's done his job, and that was the sense that he had that was prevalent in that society, right? The great Torah scholars feeling like the sense of, okay, I learned Torah, I'm doing mitzvahs, I'm good. So I want to actually focus on the teachings of Rav Pinchas of Karatzer. Rav Pinchas of Karatzer, for those of you who are not familiar, Rav Pinchas of Karatzer was a Talmud Chavir of the Baal Shem Tov. He wasn't really a student, he was a contemporary of the Baal Shem Tov. They met several times. The Baal Shem Tov said about Rav Pinchas of Karatzer that the neshama of Rav Pinchas of Karatzer is a neshama that only comes to this world once in 500 years. And Ashreinu, how lucky we are that we live in a generation that the neshama of is here. Right? The Pinchas, we live in a generation of Pinchas of Karatzer. The Baal Shem Tov felt he was the greatest. Now, Rav Pinchas of Karatzer is also well known, is that he desired nothing more than not to be a Rebbe. As great as he was, he davened, the story goes, that he davened, prayed, that he shouldn't have any chassidim. And as the story goes, is that, so because he prayed that he wasn't going to have any followers, so Eliyahu stopped appearing. Eliyahu, no, he stopped appearing to him. And then he said, you know, okay, I'd like Eliyahu Navi to come back. And so he stopped. He said, okay, I'm not going to die not to have any followers. And then people started following him. He had his closest Talmud with Rafal of Bershad, who was a devoted Talmud of his. And most of what we had from Rav Pinchas of Karatzer comes from him. You can Google and read about the two of them. There's a blog called the Two Tzaddiks, Two Tzaddikim or Two Tzaddiks, I forgot exactly what it is. Pinchas and Rafal, amazing, amazing tandem. Now the Sefer that, and bring with me, but the Sefer that you have this page from is called Imre Pinchas, Teachings of Rav Pinchas of Karatzer, and it actually is been just published recently. Pinchas of Karatzer lived as a contemporary of the Baal Shem Tov. Okay? He died in the late 18th century. Now, this Imre Pinchas, fascinatingly enough, was actually a likud that was found after the Holocaust. Someone who went to Poland, and from the, remember the city of Tarnów, most of you, if not all of you, have been to Tarnów, to the children's grave in Zbilotowska Gora outside of Tarnów. So there was a Jew named Pinchas, actually, his name was also Pinchas, and he put together the Sefer Imre Pinchas that he collected a little bit from all of the other Sfarim. But Pinchas, of course, didn't write anything in his lifetime, like many of the early Hasidic rabbis, they didn't write anything. But from his teachings that were transferred from Talmud, Talmidim, and written another Svarim, so he collected this Imre Pinchas, all the teachings of Rabbi Pinchas, and also his Talmud, Rabbi Rafal of Rashad, and he had this manuscript, and he hid it, and he had a note with it, and it somehow this guy went back to Poland a few years after the war, and he bought it in some shuk near Tarnover, maybe in Tarnover, I don't remember exactly. And he bought it, and then he went, made sure to publish it. And there was a letter by this Pinchas, please, you know, I've been hiding the sefer, and now I transferred over to a non-Jew because I don't think I'm going to make it. And please, if you publish it, like similar to the story of the Chos of Talmidim, please, that's the Rebbe. And so this is how we have the Imre Pinchas. So this is unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable stuff. So I wanted to share with you a piece which I think can help us understand what humility is and also answer the questions that we started with. Okay, so let's learn this together. It's Os Ches here. I don't know how you have it in your thing. Os Ches, afilu kol ha'omrim halacha tzadik ata, heyeh b'nech kirosha. You have it? Okay, so the Gemara Nida says, even if everyone tells you you're a tzaddik, in your eyes you should be a rasha. Semei Rav HaKadosh, because Mikar is Zichron L'Racha, Hinei Dvar Me'elav Goshem Ein Mevanim, we don't understand these holy words. Ki Hinei Kvar Heim Amru, V'Heim Amru, Alti Rasha B'Fnei Atzmecha. The Mishnah Pergava says, do not be a rasha in your own eyes. It's a stira. Right, we have a contradiction. The Gemara says, you should be a rasha in your eyes. Everyone says you're a tzaddik, you should be a rasha in your eyes. And the Mishnah Mavo says, don't be a rasha in your own eyes. Amnam bir dvarim keinu. So let's explain this theorem. Ki hinei ha-torah kedoshah b'lamedes, adam d'racha v'adas ha-kodosh b'avodas, ha-shem yisbar ha-eliz kos l'malas minus ha-nava kedoshah. The Torah has taught us how to reach levels of ha-nava, ha-sher hi-rosh l'kol ha-midos ha-tavos ha-kedoshos. This is the root of all other midos tovos. Holy Midos is the Midah Vanava. The Yachevel HaMoshe Kol Das Torah Seinu HaKadosha. It is the rope that pulls everything else in the religion. Everything else in the Torah is connected to Anava. Kimamara Kasu Ekev Anava Yiras Hashem. Pasuk Mishlei. The Yiras Hashem, he raises Chachma. Right? As a result of Anava comes Yiras Hashem, and Yiras Hashem is raises Chachma. So Anava is the first, the most important, the most central idea, concept in the Torah. Ki hein emes ki chachamim higidu asher tzarech adam liknos v'nafshu midis hishtabos. That while it's true, the chachamim said that a person has to acquire for himself the midah of hishtabos. What is hishtabos? Okay, this is another central idea you have in Chassidus. Hainu shi yishtave beinav hagnus v'ashevach habalo v'nei adam. As you see in the Chobos al-Bavos, Sha'avos Hashem. The word hishtabos from Lashon shaveh, it's equal. That whether a person is ridiculed or whether a person is praised, it should be in his eyes as equal. He shouldn't get more excited the fact that people are showering with praise, as he should be not more excited than if people were ridiculing him or criticizing him. He should take it the same way. Shivisi Hashem Negi Samid. Okay, as it's taught by Reb Zusha and other that means that everything should be nice, that everything's from Hashem, everything that happens from Hashem should be Shaveh. Right? If it's sharing with good or bad, it's all equal. It's all from Hashem. Amam tzarech leidah sheyesh darga hayoter niflav imal sakdosha b'yesu seis v'yeter oz madrigas midas hashtavos. How is it something even greater than this midah of hashtavos? There's a higher level. Ki v'dargas midas hashtavos lefamim yuchla adam lefaleis ma'agal raglav chashlam elakatzeh. Because in the midah of Hishtabos, it's possible a person can tread on the extremes, which is not pure. The midas hageus rachman letzlan. A person can reach and tread on the midah, the character trait of haughtiness. Rachman letzlan. Hashem should save us from that. Ki yocha ilios af shebareach min hakavod v'hashevach. It's possible a person is running away from honor and from praise, and he wants everything to be equal, both when he's praised and when he is is criticized. Afal pichein, kasher ba'aznav yishmal lefamim befetz pitom hasherach shishapchu bnei adam. However, it could be that he's not ready, he's not prepared, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, someone starts giving him praise, unexpected praise, maybe it's from his wife, okay, and he's not ready for it. And then, azay halei pitom etapech, so his heart starts to turn. Umemele libo nene min hashevach v'akavod v'yauf v'yida v'kirbo tamim v'ana. And since he's unprepared for this, his heart is filled with such joy from getting this praise, this honor, right? That he receives this great joy. It's great, it's a lot of pleasure that gets from when you get praised. V'chein b'shamo hagnus shignu b'nei adam. Similarly, a person who, when he hears some criticism, gam kein halei pitom mitapech. So too, the heart right away turns. And he starts to be angry, the person who's criticizing him. Right? His face, the red, sumka, the red, leaves, and he turns white. He's not ready for it. And just without preparation, he's just, all of a sudden, he's lost his color. And it's possible that from the habit of this happening, it becomes the second nature. They came into dash chas v'shalom. Yishar reik v'chasim and hidas hanover v'emetz. It's possible that in these situations, you know, again, it's just a natural reaction, becomes sort of second nature to him, and remains empty from this midah of emes, midah of hanover, excuse me. So, Asher al kein yichmiru chazal, you know that normally we should try to, we try to balance things out, be shaveh, right? We try to, sometimes we go to extreme in order to become balanced people. However, when it comes to the midah of anava, chazal or machmer, bizarre sam b'shiris midah sageyos, midah sinis anava, what we call midah saros. As you saw in the Ramban, as you see also in the Megaris Ramban, when it comes to midah of anava, it is the most, it's the greatest midah. And a person has to go to extremes to root out haughtiness and to cling on to humility. V'omru, and as the Mishnah in Ovah says, ma'od ma'od, heavy shofel ruach. Much, much so should one be low of spirit. Pirshu chazal, peirusho, ki v'chol amidos ha'utar ha'mitzua. As the Rambam says, in all amidos, it's preferred to that you should be in the middle path, the golden path, as the Rambam says. When it comes to the midah, one extreme being haughtiness and the other extreme being humility, one should be extreme in this midah to the midah of anava. You should not walk the middle path in this midah. A person needs to be ma'od, ma'od. He should be what? In the eyes of himself. When it comes to another, a person should be, look at himself as nothing. Ma, what am I? V'zeo gamkein, it's ma'od, not me'az. Ma'od. B'gematria, hachihava. V'ayinu b'chinas ma. Ma'od is ma, right? B'gematria. Right? Correct? Ma'od and ma equal each other? Right? 45 is equal to 45. So you didn't have to go to Hafter for that. Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's why I said you figure it out. Okay, Malas Midas Moshe Rabbein Olav HaShalom. Okay, here we're coming around here. Reading Ma'alam Midas Moshe Rabbein Olav HaShalom. Who Yoter G'dolim Ma'alas Tavar HaMelech Olav HaShalom Ma'alas Avram Avinu Olav HaShalom Sh'Avram Avinu Amar V'Anochi Afa Ve'efer V'Dor HaMelech Anochi V'Talad Moshe Rabbein Olav HaShalom Amar V'Nachnu Ma'a Sh'Zel Midas HaNova Sh'Ein L'Mala Himena V'Hevein. I don't understand this. So let's try to understand this. What does he mean V'Hevein?
What does that mean?
So let's look back in the parasha. Rabbeinu, when he said Anachnu Ma, this is the highest level. It's an expression of Ma'od Ma'od, Hevi Shafel Nuach. So we asked, originally we asked, where's this great expression here? V'yomer Moshe v'Aaron el kol b'nei Yisrael. Erev yedatim ki Hashem hotzi etchem eretz Yisrael. Uboker isem es kod Hashem b'shamo etfunosechem al Hashem v'nachnu ma ki tilonu aleinu. In other words, what are they saying? And this is really, if you look at the Ramban, this is really, I think, what the Ramban says. Takes issue with Ibn Ezra, who explained it the way we originally explained it. And the Ramban really says like this, that Moshe and Aaron, there are two statements here that Moshe is saying. First he says, together with Aaron, and which again, V'nachnu Ma, is both of them saying V'nachnu Ma. He's saying that we take no credit. Even when things are good, we take no credit. Because there were two complaints Bnei Yisrael makes, as Rashi points out. One of the complaints was a legitimate complaint. The other one was a little bit illegitimate. One of them was asking too much. Asking for man, asking for bread, was legitimate. It was a legitimate expression given by Bnei Yisrael. And that's why it says, quote Hashem, Boker Isim is quote Hashem. Hashem will show you, and He's heard your complaints. That is a legitimate complaint. In other words, Hashem took it out of Yisrael, but even though they said originally, right, you took us out of Mitzrayim. Moshe and Aaron, you're the one, you're the leaders, you took us out of Mitzrayim. So Moshe and Aaron saying, we take no credit. We take no credit when things were good. We take no credit for, not that they were trying to, avoid this the complaints, but rather we take no credit in leading you out of Mitzrayim. We're nothing. Kadosh Baruch Hu did it all. We had no part in it. We are not anyone. We're not in any way greater than you. The rest of Bnei Israel. The fact that it seemed like we are, leading you out of Mitzrayim. We're nothing. We're not chnuma. Ki talinu aleinu, that you ascribe us, right? The ksiv. Ki talinu aleinu, that you ascribe us to thing out of Mitzrayim. We're not chnuma. We take no credit. Kadosh Baruch Hu hears your complaints. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who you should direct all your complaints to, not because I'm not taking responsibility, but because we have no part of it. We can't take credit for Yetzias Mitzrayim at all. And then Moshe repeats it again. V'nachnu Ma again. In other words, when things are good and when things are bad, when things are positive and when things are negative, we are nothing. The midah of hishtavus, okay, the midah of seeing things when things are good, when things are bad, Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Moshe repeats it, giving expression, sort of the idea of ma'od ma'od havishval ruach. The teaching in Pirkei Avos comes perhaps from exactly this repetition of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'nachnu Ma again. Ma'od ma'od. Hamishfal Ruach. Moshe is lowering himself again. First time was Moshe and Aaron. Second time is just Moshe speaking. And even when it comes to the basar, which you don't have a right necessarily to complain about, which is really the focus of the second pasuk, of pasuk Chet, understand that we are nothing. Aaron and I, when it comes to Kapeh Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kapeh, even Bnei Yisrael, nothing more. We're nothing. The Gemara in, this will have to end very quickly. The Gemara in, the Gemara in Sota. Okay, you have here on the flip side of your page, or the other page, whatever it is. Mishameis Revi Batla Anava Amar Rav Yosef Lotisni Anava Tiyikar Ana. B'shem Rav Kodesh for a pin Tosaf Bharat to have a Tamua, the Yimhu Anna Be'emes, and you're the Aklashu Anna, Rakshu Sovashu Shafal Be'emes. Very, very sharp question. Right? If he's really an Anav, if Rav Yosef is really an Anav, he wouldn't know he's an Anav. Rakshu Sovashu Shafal Be'emes. He thinks he's really nothing. In other words, even an Anav, you don't know you're an Anav. Even if you're really an Anav, you don't know you're an Anav. How can you say you're an Anav if you're an Anav? So, Rav Pinchas of course takes issue with the Nitziv, right? He and this is, I think, all the Chassidish Rebbes would, can't be, they would say, can't be that you can say you're an Anav. Can't be that you can say you're the greatest authority in the Torah world, in just because you're under oath. That's you see from his question, sermon. Ve'ichamar Rav Yosef dika ana. How can he say this? Ve'ishlamar da hakavana ki Rebbe hayaragel tamid lomar lashon ani. Because Rebbe himself, Rebbe the Gemara says, Mishemes Rebbe batla anava. Rebbe would often say ani. Rebbe omer ani. I say. As you find the Gemara often, Rebbe says, Yudanasi gidisa Gemara b'kama dufti. Okay, Erevin and the other places, Ba'od. Okay, I'm not telling you the ode because this is Shir Ben Anava. L'chein Amar Rabbi Yosef, Otisni Anava de'ika Ana. Shirevi lo haya Ana of Kolkach, Nishaya Omer Ana. Umisha Ana be'emes ein Omer Ani, ki eino tofes makom. Rabbi Yosef was saying, he's saying critical. He wasn't saying, oh, I am here. And so even though Rebbe's dead, I am here. No, he's saying, don't say batal anava, because the fact that Rebbe died, that we didn't lose anava, because he himself wasn't an anav. Because he said ani, because he said I. He would lose lashon of I. And anyone who loses lashon of I is not a true anav, because I takes up space. And a person is not supposed to take up space. The divine is more present when I am more absent. Rav Pinchas of Karetz. I don't take up space. And Rav Zusha also, Rav Zusha never used the language of I. Say I. You say Zusha. Say Zusha. Zusha's hungry. Zusha's cold. Right? He wouldn't say I. That was a practice that you had amongst the early Chassidish Rebbes. The grandson of Rav Pinchas of Karetz was. His name is Rav Shmuel Abba of Slavita. Him together with his brother Pinchas, both grandsons, they actually, there's a famous maisa that they were tortured, trumped up charges against them, and they were beaten brutally by the Goyim and had to walk through blows, like a story from the Holocaust, even though it was 150 years before. Rav Shmuel Abba Slavita, so he tells that his father would send him to Rav Zusha and Rav Elimelech to learn what true anava was. And he said about himself, this is the son of Rav Pichas, that even though he's learned his whole life, he hasn't begun to understand what anava is. And so he sent to his son Shmuel Abba to go learn anava from Rav Zusha and Rav Elimelech Lejens. I don't know for sure, but. I would have to imagine that some way we are, my family comes from, connected to this family of Rav Pinchas Karetz or Shmuel Abba. My father's name is Shmuel Abba Bar Meir. It's an unusual name. Usually people are named after people who were named that same name. So I imagine it's maybe somewhere we were related. So just to summarize and just to close, and that is that the true meat of anava is expressed by Moshe Rabbeinu, that no, we're nothing, what are we? Because we don't take any credit certainly for anything that's done, any success we don't take credit for, nor do we. The comforting part is that nor can we be blamed when things don't go right. It's not that shirking responsibility. but understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and so our role is insignificant in the running of the world. Now, this is not such a popular kind of approach that we have today. Today, education is about building people up and saying how great we are, telling kids how great they are. This is something that sounds somewhat radical today. But the truth is that we could use a dose of this every so often. The approach of the early Hasidic masters of the, again, where I take up space, so then I'm minimizing Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And the whole question you can ask, it's for another shir, who is the I here? What does I mean when I say I? It's a whole other topic, not for now. The true humility is, I believe, when a person recognizes that he had nothing to do with any kind of success. And even when things aren't successful, he also is able to say he doesn't blame himself for it. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. It's you have to be equal. It has to go both ways, right? You can't say it's my... I had nothing to do with it when we're successful, but I had something to do with it when we're not successful. Either way, Moshe says, "V'nachnuma." Whether it comes to the complaint, the good complaint of bread, or the not such good complaint of meat, either way, "V'nachnuma," we're nothing. We don't play a role in this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He feeds us. We're just, we're just going through the motions in a certain sense. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. Just one word about my father in this context is that as it appeared to us as his children and think people who knew him and the community, it seemed like my father had done a lot and accomplished a lot. In his lifetime, which is relatively short in today's terms, but he never patted himself on the back or saw it, that it was anything to do with him in particular. He always saw it was it was the Siyata Dishmaya, it was Kadosh Baruch Hu running the world. Even though in the terms that of the way people judge things, that he was an intelligent person. And, he went to Cornell and Harvard Law School, and it seems like, wow, he must be a really smart guy. And I never once heard him tell people, I went to Harvard Law. Nothing. He was never. He never even. Never hung up his diplomas. Anywhere in the house or even in his office. And he, in his work, he was dealing with some of the richest people in the world, Warren Buffett and John Gutfreund and some of the, whatever. It's not something he ever thought anything of. He never discussed it at home. It was never a big deal. A simple person who whatever he had saw it as a blessing from Hashem. He felt he received more than he deserved. And that message that I got, my brothers got, my family, excuse me, that everything that we have is a blessing. owe everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And try to make ourselves less so HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be more. Thank you for listening.
Good evening.